Yeah, at this point, I think I'd only walk out if I were sober or born again.
Okay, so welcome back. Episode 16 of Meat for the Beast.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And something very special. Something very special this time, which you should introduce, really, because it's nothing to do with me.
Well, yeah, we could say it was an exclusive, but it's not. We've got an interview with Doug Stanhope, a Serbic comedian who is a fucking truth speaker of ridiculous proportions. You know, if you don't know Doug Stanhope, he's kind of following the same path trod by the likes of Lenny Bruce and Bill Hicks. And it's a bit of a lazy comparison, but he's the closest thing we've got. So he's carrying their torch to a degree. I think he became famous over here through being featured on Charlie Brooker's Newswipe, Voice of America. And when he did a piece on how abortion is green, and he's big on overpopulation being a big issue in the world. And he does a nice bit where he says, if you see a hybrid car in a car park and it's got a Yaris. Do that again. He does a nice bit where if you see a hybrid car and it's got a child seat in the back, what you want to do is go Fight Club on that shit, put the window through, and leave a fucking Johnny on the baby seat. And I think
we still have a Yaris with a baby seat in it, by the way.
I think from then he was on my radar as being a reasonable man.
Yeah.
And I followed him, well, not followed him since, but I've been to see him, and he's got some stand-ups on Netflix, and if you've not seen any of his work, check him out.
A lot of it's on YouTube as well, which is cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, he's coming to Sheffield, or he might have been in Sheffield by the time you hear this, but I write for a local magazine, got the chance to interview him by Skype, and we've got a clip of it.
Yeah, so thanks to the guys from Toast.
Cheers for Toast. Thanks to Doug himself, and for putting up with the fucking the Skype went down the day before the interview, and we had to put it back. And then when it was on, it just kept cutting out. But I think Jim here has done a wonderful job of salvaging this fucking inept line of questioning,
which wasn't that bad at all, I thought.
Oh, thank you.
It just needed, you know, a little nip and tuck. It's possible we'll get a retweet, so any Stanhopers out there, we thought we'd put this on quick so you can check it out and you don't have to listen to our inane shit for too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so here we go. This is McVeigh talking to the legend that is Doug Stanhope.
Hello, is that Doug?
Yes, how are you?
Hi, it's James. It's James from Toast Magazine in Sheffield. How's it going today?
Fantastic.
That's good.
And yourself?
Not bad. I've got to be honest, I'm a little nervous speaking to you. I'm a big fan. I'll try and keep a lid on that.
All right. Apologize. I'm scared too. We'll get through this together. We'll hold each other.
I'm sure we will. I was going to start with the question about audiences, but I guess you probably hate that. So I was wondering, what are you expecting of your upcoming European tour? Because this time you come to Sheffield, which I don't think you have done in the past. You
got any? No, I've never been.
You got any preconceptions?
No, I have none whatsoever, which I like.
Okay.
So there's always a chance I'll like it. Everywhere else I've been, and I know that I don't like it.
Well, we're quite close to Chesterfield, which you played a couple of years ago. I saw you down there. But it was quite nice to see you boot out a drunken woman.
I wish that was less common, that, to the point where it would stand out. What is Sheffield known for?
Sheffield is known for steel. The Full Monty, Sean Bean, a sauce called Henderson's Relish, which the locals go crazy for. It's not bad, and it's surrounded by hills. It's got loads of hills. It's a nice sound, and it's green. So I was just thinking, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I think with your stuff, it resonates with me, because I'm a big fan of Charles Bukowski, and you know, you seem to have a lot of tales of the American underbelly. And there's no real serious message, just like observation. Do you ever feel like misunderstood or misinterpreted, or are you happy for people to take your stuff however they take it, and it doesn't matter?
That's of no concern, because it's something that you can't control. So you just make yourself crazy, because I would constantly find stuff where people took my material out of context and completely misread it, and then just start getting in arguments. The same as when a Jehovah's Witness knocks at your door, and you think, you know what, I'm actually going to sit and talk to this guy like he can win. So how people take my material, that's their business.
That's good. I guess there's never been like a political message as such, but I think it might be right in saying that a lot of, say, Guardian readers, people, fans of the likes of Stuart Lee and Frankie Boyle, they are quite overtly political at times. Whereas, even though you're not, some of the things you say, they resonate with people in a certain way. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's accurate?
Well, I hate the word political just because it's a buzzword for boring.
Yes.
I don't talk about politics, but I have material that's occasionally socially relevant with a fist fuck joke attached to it to make it fall under the banner of comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, I think there's something you said about incentive-based eugenics, where you suggested a way of controlling the population. And I thought that was actually a really good idea, because we're going down the route of idiocracy at the minute. And even though it's not a nice thing to say, it's kind of the right thing.
What, the incentive-based eugenics?
Yes. Yeah.
Population control, isn't it? The brainstorming of everything that's wrong with the world always boils down to overpopulation. If you don't control that, you don't control anything else.
That's true.
And you're not going to control it.
No, I guess you can't. But have you seen Idiocracy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's just frightening.
Wonderful movie.
Oh, it's brilliant, but we're just getting closer and closer to it. It scares me.
Yeah. Pretty frightening, but I won't be here to see it.
Yeah, well, I hope I won't be either. Jesus. So I guess with that kind of style and the things that you're addressing, we're not likely to see you on the likes of Michael McIntyre's Comedy Roadshow over here. Are you aware of that guy?
I don't know.
Okay, you're missing nothing. He's a very popular arena-filling comedian who is just, it's for the masses, and it's dreadful. Are you quite happy? I think you've been described as the comedian's comedian by many people. Are you quite happy having a sort of that critical acclaim while still being fairly cultish and kind of underground?
I'd rather have comics like me than people. I'm very happy with that. If you look at what's popular in the world, as far as pop culture goes, if you're part of it, you might have to question everything you're doing.
Yeah, but there's the big bucks to be playing for, isn't there?
Although, this is last several years, it's been nice that good comics are, taking over the top spots, the Louis C.K. and Bill Burr,
yeah,
as compared to the, Larry the Cable Guy and Dane Cook that preceded him.
It's just, in the UK...
So you don't have to suck to be popular, but it helps.
Yeah. In the UK, we've got a lot of comedians who seem to just appear on panel shows on TV, and then by Christmas, they're selling out arenas. And it's like, where did you learn the ropes? You've not proven yourself. You've just been on TV, and now you're raking it in. That's depressing.
Well, I guess that's kind of the way it's always worked. In fact, it used to be far worse. You could do one Johnny Carson show, and you're a household name. So it's not as bad as it was, I don't think.
Well, at least, we've got the likes of you and, like you say, Louis C.K. and Bill Burr. So there's, there's something for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, I'm happy where I am. Don't need anything more. But the old days I'd miss, where people would just come to a comedy club just to see comedy and had no idea who you were. And, those are the days.
Technical problems.
Sorry about this. It's,
you need me to say that again?
It didn't come through, but I don't want to be bothering you, Doug. can we... moving on.
You're not bothering me. Skype sucks. The delay sucks. You work with it. I just said it was a lot more exciting in some aspects when you were a complete unknown entity and people would just come into a comedy club to see comedy and then hear me, and I'd have massive walkouts, and that was always a lot of fun.
Right.
So... being less popular was actually more exciting in some ways.
But now you've got your own stages, your own tours. You can really do what you want. If people walk out, which is unlikely, I guess, but it doesn't matter, does it? You got them in?
Yeah. At this point, I think I'd only walk out if I were sober or born again.
Jeez, don't that be something? Just moving on. I know you've just you've just finished a book, which is it called One Funny Mother?
A working title, but I only have a week till I leave for the tour to fix that. But yeah, that's what it's being pre-sold on Amazon as.
And is that due out in the new year, I guess?
It's scheduled to come out in April.
Cool. And that's about, I guess, is it an autobiography or is it just about you and your mother? Which is well,
it's a memoir. Yeah. It's you know, my life going through the early years with mother and her alcoholic years, and then her coming out to L.A. to try to be an actress and living with me, and all through her suicide. Right. It's fun. She's a crazy bitch. Well, but she definitely was responsible for my sense of humor.
That's good. So I remember you were when I saw you in Chesterfield. You told the story about your mother coming out to stay with you at home. It's like you deliver what's clearly like a serious and can be a very sad thing, but you deliver it in such a way that people are doubled over in their seats. And I think that's a nice gift to have.
Yeah, it comes in handy. When you can laugh at the worst shit in the world, it's definitely a benefit. And my sense of humor has always been pretty dark, as was mother's. So anything shitty in life is good for business.
I gather every now and then, or maybe after each tour, you always seem to be on record as wanting to jack it all in. Is that just really after, like immediately after the tour when you're maybe a bit spent? Or do you really give serious thought to each time it being the last?
Oh, retiring?
Yeah.
Certainly every time I've left the UK, I've given it serious thought.
Lovely. I don't want to take up your time. I think I've kind of got enough to be going on here. But is there anything that you want to add? You want to. I don't know, because this is going to go out on the magazine's website just before the gig in a couple of weeks. Is there anything you want to say to the people of Sheffield, for instance?
I apologize in advance. No. I look forward to eating your relish and skipping through your green hills.
Excellent.
And I'll deciding which I like better. Which Sheffield team I like better? I hear you hate each other.
Oh yeah, I think one calls the other one scum. I don't know what the other one. I don't listen. I don't watch football, but there's a big rivalry. And I think it's interesting because one of them's doing better than the other. They're in a league above. One of them's got real sour grapes.
Well, I like the one that's doing worse. Whichever one that one is, I like the dog. I don't watch it either, but I find it important to have a favorite.
Absolutely. I think it might be Sheffield Wednesday who are doing worse. I don't know. They play at Hillsborough. I could look into that, but I don't know. Thanks for your time, Doug.
Hey, I appreciate it. We'll see you over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll see you in a... Well, you probably won't see me, but I'll see you in a couple of weeks at the O2. Thanks again.
All right, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that was me talking with Doug. I don't know.
Good work, man.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I was very fucking nervous because it's when you get the chance to speak to one of your heroes, I guess you're putting a bit more pressure on yourself not to fuck up. And so when the Skype was fucking up, I was fucking embarrassed and very But thankfully, Doug was a lovely, tolerant fellow, and I'm one of my proudest moments.
You should feel proud.
Freelance journo.
Yeah, man.
So yeah,
I was wondering if did he realise he was being recorded, or did he do a little sneaky one on him?
Well, I thought he assumed, because I wasn't writing shit down. I think most interviews do get recorded.
Unless
you're a master of shorthand, which I'm not.
You do have little hands, though.
Thanks. Thanks. Not that small.
I'm cultivating some Paddy Shovels now. Yeah, so well done. Fucking hell, that's a bit of a legend on Meat for the Beast.
Absolutely.
Anyone, if we did get that retweet, any Stanhope fans that are listening, probably well advised to bail the fuck out around now. But if you do want to stick with us, should we tell them about the podcast? Like what?
Well, no, I mean, I'm sure they can find it out. But, we're covering all sorts of shit. Stuff we've been enjoying, stuff we've been hating, people we've been disliking.
Yeah.
TV shows we're loving and loathing. Comics, films, all sorts of shit.
Yeah. Maybe, in fact, Stanhope's quite a hateful chap, isn't he? So maybe we should give our hateful output is the shit list.
Yes.
Which we've got, literally, it's now become a physical list I've got here before me. I found the shittiest piece of paper in my workroom.
All these fuckers deserve.
Yeah, yeah. I even forgot to put Alex Ross on it at first. I had to add him on the end.
He was the first entrant, wasn't he?
So these are people that have slighted us in some way. Not personally, but we had issues. So we run through it.
Yeah.
So we got, I'll imagine he's at the top. So we've got Alex Ross, comic artist, who the beef was that his artwork's a bit sort of anal and I don't know.
It's not that it's shit, because it's not, it's very good.
I'm a Kingdom Come fan. Yeah.
It lends itself to covers and lovely paintings. Yeah. It doesn't lend itself to sequential comic book business.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking sick of his red jumpers.
And he'll, like, when he draws Captain America, he'll, like, take a photo of his dad and trace it to look like Captain America, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't.
Right.
Or, I don't know, maybe not his dad, but some old bloke he knows with fucking mantis in Lycra.
Who the fucking takes a photo of someone and traces around it? Kind of twat does that.
Not me anymore, son. Stephen Hawking, who we've changed his name to Hawkins because I said it wrong as an added diss to Hawking. And it was a bit of a sort of, what's the phrase, it's a bit harsh putting him on the list, but it was because they made a film about his life with that Eddie Redmayne cocksucker, and it stole the...
I told you should have put him on it.
Yeah, well, it needed to be a lot harsher, I think.
If anything, the Academy, because the real beef is because it robbed Michael Keaton of a deserving Oscar.
It robbed Keaton. Keaton was fucking shafted on that one, so Hawkins is fucking on that list, high up there.
Shit.
You put Akiva Goldsman on
there. Akiva Goldsman, yeah, responsible for the fucking bat nipples and bat credit cards in the shit Schumacher films. And
fuck you, Goldsman.
Yeah, fuck you, Goldsman. And now he's got his mitts on my beloved Transformers. So right. I'm fucking petrified. Right.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine those films getting shit.
Oh shit.
Jai Courtney, some fucking meat thief bellend. it wasn't that bad in the new Terminator flick, to be fair, but it's just more his face, isn't it, than his acting skills. And
yeah.
We just don't like him.
No.
Andy Serkis was on there, but we took him off because I felt a bit bad about that one because it was a bit. I think that was more drunken stupidity than anything else.
It's fair enough. It's, you know, it's good that, you know, cold light of day. We can strike all these if we wanted to, but let's see them prove themselves.
If you played Gollum and a big dirty ape chasing a lady around, you're all right by me.
And then the most recent one was Peter Parker. The character, the fictional character, Peter Parker.
Yeah, I think since Miles Morales donned the spider suit, made a lot of people like me and McVeigh realise what a fucking puss hole Parker was. Still loves his fucking granny or something, and hung up on some chick that dumped him 20 years ago.
Oh yeah, get over it, Pete.
Yeah, so MJ, like, why would you chase around fucking MJ if you could be nobbing the Black Cat? So fuck you, Parker.
Yeah, you idiot.
Yeah, Morales deserves, it should be the only man in that spider suit for my money.
Respect.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the shit list.
And I've got a new nomination.
Oh yeah.
I was telling you earlier. My wife has a habit of watching complete bullshit on TV. She was pregnant a couple of years ago, and it hit the mother load. And she got into a show called Millionaire Matchmaker, which once in a while I'm still fucking forced to watch. And
you could just leave her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sorry, that's a bit harsh. I'll just leave the room.
And yeah, it's the main matchmaking woman. It's this woman called Patty Stranger, who just, you know, one of these real judgmental professional bullies. Who makes Simon Cowell look like fucking Dalai Lama or
just
something.
Just looking her up.
Yeah, and she's kind of you know, she gives people fashion advice, which is always shy, and she's got a big, she's got a chin not unlike my own, a big square jaw.
I don't know, man. I'm getting some Katy Perry vibes here.
Piss off.
Oh, I'm gone.
She's kind of, she tries to pull off that she's in her 30s, and she's, but apparently she's like, you know, chasing 60 odd.
Really?
So she's obviously had a lot of work done. And just one of these
54.
Okay. Just one of these obnoxious, bitchy women that, like, for example, she put it on the other day, and there was some woman came along, very pretty girl, kind of an alternative chick, like the kind of girl we'd probably go for.
Yeah.
And she was wearing this, like, interesting looking brooch. And just seeing a picture of Patty Stranger in a bikini.
Yeah.
Looking like fucking Jabba the Hutt.
Crikey. That's a bit mean.
And, so this alternative chick had this brooch on, and she immediately zoomed in on it and was saying, oh, why are you wearing that stupid brooch?
Right.
And the girl's like, well, it belonged to my grandmother. And her response was, is she dead?
Fucking A. And
the girl goes, actually, yeah, she is. She goes, oh, you take it off then, it's shit. Something, words to that effect.
Nice.
And I was like, what a rancid, vile cunt.
Jesus.
And that's when the shit list sprang to mind. So
good.
So the millionaire matchmaker, I found your fucking perfect partner, bitch. The fucking shit list. You're on there. What do you reckon?
I'm good with it. Having not seen her, but you put a good case. I mean, I'm looking at pictures of her, and for 54, she's, you know, aesthetically, she's looking all right.
Yeah, she's. Yeah,
but
she's,
that's all I can say.
She's held it down. But with she's the help a terrible. Of various knives and.
She's a terrible harpy. Then I'll stick her in the fucking bin.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck you, Patty Stranger.
Fucking hell. Patty Stranger. Yeah, nice one.
So what's going down, McVeigh? What's the score?
It's going down. Seeing as we're on the shit list, we could have saved this for later. I want to stick Ridley Scott on there.
Oh.
What do you think of that?
Old man. What about, let's call him Old Man Scott. Let's separate him from his former self, because
no, because without his former self there wouldn't be the current self, which is reason for putting him in the shit list. He's been like, consciously or not, he's been getting too much credit for fucking Blade Runner and Alien, and you know they were good obviously, but since then all the films he's done, like Black Rain came close to being brilliant.
That was alright. Black Rain,
yeah, that was
what,
it
Michael Douglas,
yeah, it was really? Alright. That was it. It was all right. His films are always over fucking 2 hours long. They're flabby as fuck. And it's just diminishing returns. And each film that comes out, it's like, oh, Ridley Scott made this. I'm like, why should we care? Oh, because he did Blade Runner, remember? So we've got The Martian out currently at the minute. I think it's getting all right reviews.
But yeah, Matt Damon left on Mars. It's all right by me.
Yeah.
Matt Damon's slow death.
Fucking hell, that's harsh.
Matt Damon on Mars, doing a bit of science. Look forward to that one.
I think it looks alright.
Do some science, Matt.
It looks alright. Compared with his other shit. Like, well, we had recently Exodus and
Prometheus.
I know, no, Prometheus, that's the thing. Prometheus stands out as being almost great.
Really?
Yeah, and it looks beautiful.
It was a fucking abortion, mate.
That wasn't really Scott's fault. It was Damon Lindelof from fucking Lost coming in. Actually, here we go. Fuck all this shit. Ridley Scott is off the shit list. Damon fucking Lindelof, purely for ruining Prometheus. There you go.
Right. What was his? How did he ruin it then?
Well, John Spates wrote a script called Alien Engineers, and it was a lot more tied in with the Alien universe.
Yeah.
But it was very similar in terms of the plot. Lindelof comes in and just turns everyone into a twat. You know, like the bit with what's his name? A guy played fucking Ian Curtis in 24 Hour Party People.
Oh, Sam Riley. I know. I know, he looks a bit like a rodent. He's got quite a ratty face, and he was in Creep. Yeah,
he played Ian Brady as well.
Did he? Yeah,
right. Fuck me. Anyway, that guy, he's one of the scientists in Prometheus.
Yeah, travel
halfway
totally
across
wasted,
the fucking galaxy. He's like, yeah, he's really good. But him and his other mate, they travel across the galaxy just for a paycheck. So I don't know what we're doing, but we're going to do some science because they're scientists.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, should we do? Oh, well, should we go in this cave? No, I don't want to. You fucking, what are you here for? To help them to do some science. And then they go in there without fucking protective gear, and that guy's twatting about with that little face huggery thing. Bullshit. Damon Lindelof, fuck off.
And
Damon Lindelof, fuck off.
Nobody moans about this, but I'm going to have a moan about it. Look, The fucking elephant dude from Alien. The bony elephant.
Yeah.
We never properly got fucking Jumbo running around the corridors, did we? Some fucking elephant man. They did in the comics and was great.
Was it a suit?
Yeah, but it should have been. Yeah. Should have been an elephant man. Because yeah. In the Aliens comics, rather, they showed up eventually with fucking trunks attached to their chests.
Yeah.
And it's like, nice one, some fucking alien elephants. I'm trying to think of a famous elephant I can...
Sean Harris.
An elephant.
No.
Sean Harris, yeah.
Sean Harris. Yeah. Right, good. Also, a little name drop, I met him.
Really?
Yeah, right. It was dead nice. It was when 24-hour party people was being made. They rebuilt the Hacienda in a factory. And I went down for a mooch about.
Shit.
There's a club scene, free booze.
Is that in Ashton or something?
No, it was in Manchester, just off Ancoats. Like, this old factory. And they just put up, like, plaster, but, like, it looked like brick, and you touch it, and it was clearly just fucking
wood. Yeah.
Free booze. And it was the scene that, towards the end, where Tony Wilson... And like stops the music and says the factory label's closing, go over there, ransack the place, do that.
So you were there?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Right.
It was right good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good work.
Sean Harris, lovely chap.
Yeah, well, I'd be totally happy to put fucking old man Scott on the list, but Ridley Scott, no way.
Right.
They're two different men to me.
Yeah, and also, he gets far more credit than his brother ever did, despite the fact his brother made fucking far more entertaining films, better films, that I got more joy out of. You know what I mean?
What was better than Alien?
Jesus.
Bad Boys 2.
That was Michael Bay, you twat. Tony Scott, man.
True Romance is good. Yeah,
True Romance, Last Boy Scout, Crimson Tide.
Beverly
Hills Cop 2. fuck me. Top Gun. Top Gun's better than Alien.
Jesus Christ. I don't know about that, man, to be honest.
No.
But
I know which I'd rather watch. I think Tony Scott's films are easier to watch.
Right. Well, they're a different type of film. They do what they do for each audience very well, I think.
Tony Scott, far more entertaining than Ridley Scott in terms of his output. And
outrageous.
I think Ridley Scott's getting far too much credit than he deserves. That notwithstanding, he's not going in the shit list because, you know, he has made some decent stuff. Damon Lindelof hasn't, apart from fucking Prometheus and fucking Lost. Get the fuck out. Lost. Get lost. So, Lindelof. I'm going to stick Lindelof in there.
Right.
You alright with that?
Yeah. Let's physically put him on the
list.
Get
this shit pen that we got
this
from
is,
the.
This is an actual list now.
Shitty pen from the Hilton Hotel.
There you go, Lindelof. But from me, massive props to Ridley for his early work. I watched Blade Runner last night, actually.
I've got nothing wrong to say about Blade Runner. You watched Final Cut?
I did.
Something you need.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I don't know who I was going to ask you. Have you ever seen the original cut of Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Where there's a happy ending?
Yeah.
And Harrison's doing a voiceover?
Yeah. Like a shit.
It's actually all right.
Yeah. I'd like to give it another go.
Yeah. I remember quite enjoying it. It was my segue into the real version because it made it a bit more accessible to the 14-year-old me.
Yeah.
Because the first time I watched it was the you know director's cut. It was a bit hardcore for when I was quite young at the time. And then that one kind of helped me sort of grasp it a bit. And obviously now,
there's a lot of fucking exposition, isn't there?
Yeah.
Doesn't he explain like Gaff's street language and stuff?
Oh, I can't remember. Probably, yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yeah, James almost made up a fucking language for that, and he only has about four or five lines.
Right.
Good lad.
So yeah, but fuck you, old man Scott. But props to the real Ridley Scott.
And I'm going to.
Died at circa about 85, I think.
I'll drink to that. I'm also going to drink to Tony Scott.
Yeah. R.I.P. Tony Scott. Yeah, a few apologies. We had a kind of sort of field trip.
Oh shit, we had the premiere of your band's documentary.
Yeah, it was the rockumentary known as Montage of Feck Off about the Friends of Batman. So I'd strongly advise you to Google that.
We can put
check
up,
it out.
We can put up a link.
It's already there, in fact. But we'll put it up again. And you can check. You can watch that on YouTube for $0.
Yeah.
And I apologise because we went to the premiere, which went pretty well. It was in the Greystones pub in Sheffield.
Yeah, shout out to the Greystones.
Yep. And they gave us the back room for Nout. and we got it for free.
Yeah, we bought their beer.
Yeah,
they even were so nice as to provide a screen, which was very fucking handy. especially after the pricks who made this asked us for a screen, and me and my friend we located a screen and I carried it about, and it's so big and heavy, and I carried it to my house and we were going to take it up on the day of the premiere, and then we get word, oh, they've got a screen, don't worry about it. Fucking arseholes.
Well, I don't want to diss them too much because I then drop the ball. But we did interviews with Renee and Terry, aka James. And for some stupid fucking reason, the laptop I used defaulted to the internal mic, which it's never ever done.
Techno nightmare.
Exactly. And we just lost about 40 minutes of audio. And also chatted to Daniel Stillings, who had some insights into Antichrist.
Yep.
So apologies to Renee, Terry and Daniel for a massive fuck up on my part. So there you go. But we're gonna come back to that next month. I'm going to meet up with those guys and get it in the bag properly.
But it was good. I enjoyed the film itself. Yeah, very funny. It was quite touching as well at the end.
Some good animation in it.
Some excellent animation. And it's very funny. It's very funny. It's like, it's a good laugh.
Yeah.
If you watch it, if you care about a band you've never heard of and want to see what was it, 13 years?
But there was a great scene where Terry and Brother Teresa reenact. They kind of somehow combine what's that film with the nuns?
Sister Act.
Yeah, they somehow combine Sister Act with the most violent scene in Scum in a perfect manner, and it's worth checking out just for that scene. Plenty of other gold in there.
Yeah, some nice bit of Diamond Nights, Diamond Lights. Fucking Hoddle and Waddle, is that right?
Yeah, wonderful. That was news to me.
Wonderful tune.
Two footballers from the 80s released. Apparently they didn't call themselves Hoddle and Waddle though. They went with Chris and fucking Glynn or something.
Hoddle and Waddle's a far better name.
I noticed they were actually billed as Hoddle and Waddle at the end as an added diss. So yeah, well done guys, and sorry I fucking dropped the ball. I'll take the credit on that.
Yeah, but I'm not sorry for you making me carry a fucking screen around.
You want to take it back up on the house,
right? I'm taking it, it's still in my fucking attic. Right. It's going to be there a while.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Ridley Scott, if you ever saw his advert with fucking some knobhead cycling up a massive hill, that's the kind of hill McVeigh's got to carry that screen back up.
Yeah, bastards.
So when you think about it, that apology is invalid now because they owe you an apology, so no apologies are really needed.
That's true. We're even just lure them into, oh yeah, come and spend half an hour chatting with us. Yeah, it's recording, honest mate.
Narcos,
hot new show on Netflix.
You've not had the chance to see it yet.
I have not,
and I don't intend to ruin it for anybody, but holy shit, check it out.
Some raw ass shit.
I had many a late night binging on that.
Yeah,
it's a pretty short series. It's only, I think it's 12 eps at the most.
Pretty standard, isn't it? Standard for is it? Hour long shit, yeah.
Right.
HBO and Showtime stuff tends to be about that.
A little bit different because it's actually seems quite closely based on something that actually happened. The guy called, what's his name? Something Esteban.
You mean Escobar? Pumpkin Escobar? No, not pumpkin. That's a
pumpkin Escobar.
That's a drug dealer from fucking James Allen Bob Strikes Back. What the fuck am I on about? No, there's an Escobar dude. What's his name?
He's it was set in
Pablo.
Pablo Escobar. That's
not pumpkin.
Pumpkin Escobar.
I'm fucking on.
Definitely not him.
I'm right on Gover, mate. I'm sorry.
But yeah, check. If you haven't already, that's the man. Yeah. If you haven't already, check that out. It's I imagine some things have been exaggerated for theatrical purposes, but holy shit, even half of it's true, it's absolutely shocking.
At the height of his career, Pablo Escobar supplied about 80% of the cocaine smuggled into the US.
I won't read it now. Anything I say is going to wreck it. Just check it out. It's on Netflix.
Wow. I didn't know it was about him. So it's like a drama business. Alright, cool.
One dead-eyed motherfucker. Cool. Great performances. Like, got, whoever's playing him, cold as fucking ice.
He's got a thumbs up from the Beast on that.
Yeah, yeah, from me, yeah. I mean, check it out.
Ooh. Hey, oh,
the old wolf. He's having a wolf. He's having a bloody wolf.
Another thing on Netflix coming in, I think, November is Marvel's follow-up to Daredevil in terms of their next output is Jessica Jones.
Okay.
Now, I don't know much about Jessica Jones, but I understand that she's like some sort of private eye who's got superpowers, goes out with Luke Cage or something. But okay. It looks pretty badass. All the artwork and shit is looking tasty. Played by Kristen Ritter.
From Breaking Bad.
From Breaking Bad, yeah. I know, right?
Very easy on the eye.
Easy on the trousers, son.
Yeah, yeah.
The unbuckling commence.
Has that arrived yet?
No, I think it's November.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably have another episode out then. But yeah, we'll talk about it then. Okay, but yeah, cool, cool. It's on the radar.
Nice bit of casting there.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But there's a little clip, a little teaser clip they've released, and it's like a slow pan over her apartment, and there's fucking laundry and bottles of whiskey strewn everywhere.
Soiled knickers, Tracy Emin style.
Yeah, that kind of shit. And the camera pans up to like her in bed with a line on her front. And the alarm goes off at 3 in the afternoon and it's beeping away and her hand just comes into frame and it's just like clawing about for the clock, and instead of like turning it off, she just crushes it in her hand and breaks the fuck out of it.
Right. So she's actually super powered.
Yeah.
Shit.
Looks alright.
I like the sound of that. Well, if it's quarter as good as Daredevil.
I know, Daredevil set the bar, didn't it?
Set that bar pretty high.
Yeah.
You know. And yeah, appreciate the retweet from what's his name for my Daredevil picture.
Stephen DeKnight.
Only the coolest guy's gonna retweet from DeKnight.
The beast arrived that day.
A bit of a class. As soon as it's now October, it's early in October. I don't know when I'm getting a chance to cut this, so imagine a couple of weeks will have passed by then. But I'm busy as fuck. But Halloween.
Oh, sorry, 3. Sorry, Jim. Is this hobby getting in the way of your actual life? Oh my god. What can you do?
Well, you can fucking cut it then, you lazy cunt.
Oh no, I couldn't possibly. A full time job.
Too busy watching watching Miami Vice. That's some other B movie.
You dick. Get the fuck out. Dickhead. Go on, what? You watched Shaun the Fucking Sheep?
It's Halloween 3.
Halloween 3,
yeah.
Excellent, the finest of the sequels.
Not seen it since the fucking 80s.
It's twisted, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's real menace. It's got the old man from Robocop in it.
Oh yeah.
It's doing a
lovely Irish accent.
Well, he is Irish, I believe.
Nice to see old Mick as the bad guys for a change. It's normally an English baddie, isn't it?
That's true, yeah.
Pretty rare you get an Irish bad guy in these things.
Unlike reality.
Spoken with him is the invisible fucking orange sash around him.
Don't bring that into it, Jim. Who can get an Irish passport and who can't? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I can.
I don't think you can.
Do you want to put money on this? Because I already looked it up.
I'm saying my claim to the Emerald Isle is a little stronger than yours, that's all.
You reckon?
Yeah, I've got two Irish parents, you've got one.
Your folks were born in the UK, technically.
No, one of them wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, right. But still Irish.
Where's your old man from?
I think technically born in Northern Ireland, in Derry. I think he was born in Derry.
UK. Got an, you know.
But Irish, anyway.
So get the Union Jack fucking tattooed on your head.
Oh, you dick.
You fucking Fenian enemy.
You papist bastard. Right, we're...
You fucking bollocks.
Weirdy fuck. Right. Come on. Back on topic.
Okay, Halloween 3.
Halloween 3, yeah. Right, good. Sinister, gruesome, unsettling. And, and I think it was nice because Halloween 2 was pretty dog shit. Even though it was quite impressive that it was set immediately after Halloween 1 ended. That night.
Poor man's Voorhees can fuck off.
Fuck off, Jim. If without Myers, you wouldn't have Voorhees. So, if anything, Myers is his fucking, you know, is his dad in terms of he was doing it first. Probably maybe not as well.
But without the fucking Birdie song, he probably wouldn't have the Prodigy either, you know what I mean? So. Do you know what I mean? They probably pioneered that kind of dance beat.
Fucking hell.
In the UK.
Oh my god. Something yeah, to agree with you. Did you fucking Taco Bell go down the wrong way? Because you seem a bit angry, Jim.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been a Michael Myers fan. I don't know. He's never done it for me.
I think the first film is beyond reproach. So it's just there's so many moments in it that are just still sinister as hell. And
yeah, we were saying Donald Pleasance's performance is pretty damn sweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a great fact. I was listening to. You remember that band AIM from the early noughties?
Yeah, I remember AIM.
There's a great AIM track with some Donald Pleasance samples.
Right.
That's at one point some coppers talking to Donald Pleasance and he goes, "Damn you for letting him go." And it kicks into this da 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 da. It's a real epic kind of. It reminds me of fucking Mozart's Requiem Mass or something. Ooh. It's real kind of.
That sounds good.
Haunting and epic kind of. We'll have to bang it on later.
I haven't thought about AIM in years.
Yeah, they were all right, actually.
Yeah.
Not a bad little act. I don't know what you'd describe them as, but it was the kind of thing that was shit live. Yeah. Like, I went to see Groove Armada live once, and it was like some fucking dick on bongos. And
never bring bongos to a fucking... Yeah. Don't bring bongos anywhere. Fucking...
Fucking bongos.
You fucking bongos.
You bongo bastard.
Bongo fuck-up merchant. Jesus.
Take your tablets and fuck off.
Tell you what,
tablas. They're not even bongos, are they? Sorry, Anjon plays tablas and he listens to this podcast. Sorry, Anjon.
That was not really an apology, Anjon. I wouldn't really accept that. Jokes are the best jokes.
Yeah, but Halloween 3
strong, and the only sequel worth your time. I started watching Halloween H2O. It's just fucking shit. I mean, I've seen them all, but No, sorry. Resurrection. H2O isn't that shit. It's right. A bit shit, but it's pretty shit.
It's like, I watched one Michael Myers film. It had someone like fucking Busta Rhymes on CCTV.
Yeah, that's Halloween 8, Resurrection.
Like, this is where Michael Myers is at these days.
It's fucking dog shit.
Meanwhile, Voorhees was kicking ass with Freddy. I'm saying?
Yeah, whatever.
The real deal.
Whatever. Bollocks.
Voorhees is way creepier, though. He's bigger for a start.
That's not creepy.
And he's got that dead-eyed mask, whereas Michael Myers is basically wearing a Captain Kirk mask.
Michael Myers' mask is far more effective. It's far more effective than a fucking hockey mask.
What's haunting about Captain Kirk?
He didn't get the hockey mask until, what, Friday 13th, 3 or something?
So if the doorbell rang now, William Shatner and a bloke in a hockey mask were facing you, which one would you find more daunting? More threatening. Well, which one would you rather take in a fight?
If there's a knock on the door and I've not ordered a fucking takeaway, I'm not opening the fucking door.
Not even for William Shatner.
No way. I don't know. You've not seen the Rob Zombie Halloweens, have you? Which are, you know, very...
No. I do have the very first Halloween, which I never got around to watching properly. So I'm going to watch that this Halloween and I'll report back.
Okay, do so. Because in that case, then you might come to agree with me.
And then I'll stick some Friday 13th on to take the edge off it.
It's shit though, mate. It's really Friday 13th. Like,
once he got his fucking mum out of the frame, it got a lot better.
No, it didn't. Each one was shit. They were on Netflix for a while, and I watched 4, 5, 6, and 7 and 8. I watched it up. Yeah, because they didn't have 9 and whatever motherfucker. Jason. Yeah, what, Jason X in fucking.
In space.
Evil gets an upgrade. Right. Get the fuck out. Rubbish.
Although you keep expecting fucking Crichton to show up at something. Hey, where's me fucking curry?
Friday 13th, 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. That's just fucking bullshit. He just gets on a boat and spends an hour and 20 minutes killing people on a boat that at the end arrives in New York. It's like,
all right,
nice one. Bag of shit.
Jason v. What is it? Freddy v. Jason?
Yeah.
That's alright, isn't it? That was an enjoyable. That was almost like a superhero crossover.
Yeah, that was not too bad.
That was like the template for the Marvel. You know, we just had Hulk v. Iron Man, haven't we? It seems like.
Yeah.
That sort of led a bit to that kind of thing.
It was interesting the first time that, you know, intellectual properties from studios combined together. That was interesting.
And because those two, they're a bit like. Polar opposites as well. I felt like it worked pretty well. Freddy's like a charismatic, nasty, sadistic bastard, whereas Jason's more like completely almost innocent but one scary motherfucker.
Yeah, I've never been scared by him. He's just annoying. It's like, what's your problem, mate? Just fucking get over it.
Oh, duh.
Rubbish.
I'd rather Freddy came to my door.
Yeah.
I still feel like I could punch him in the dick and
you
run
can
off.
Have, you can punch him in the dick, but he'd probably get you with his Mr. Tickle arms. But, I reckon you can have a good laugh with Freddy, a good bit of banter before he carves you up. You're like, I think he, you know, there'd be something there. He'd put on a show. Whereas those other two dicks, just faceless maniacs, they'll just brutally slaughter you. Freddy, toy with you a bit like a cat.
I just remembered something quite cool.
Go on.
Because we were talking about Freddy, and then I was thinking of the shitty remake with Jackie O'Haley.
That was shit, actually. No, I think that actually it wasn't that bad. Because the beginning, you saw more of him pre-Burning.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was well cast, I suppose.
Yeah, I like that. I think Jackie O'Haley's great. I mean, Rorschach's the... You know, like, you see these superhero films, you love a character, and there's always something not quite right. It's like, well, I enjoyed that, but things weren't quite right. Like,
yeah.
I can honestly say he fucking... Everything about his cinematic Rorschach was just bang on the fucking nose for
absolutely. Fucking flawless. I'd love to watch... I need to watch that again. I've not seen it in years.
I had to go... Melissa was away for a couple of weeks with her family. And because I don't like flying. I fucking hate flying. So I dodged a holiday. And
I'm quite happy sat in my pants in my house. I don't need to leave. Like the fucking game on.
I think I got like... I was expecting my friend Jez, shout out to Jez Tim. Jez was going to come visit and something, I think work got in the way. And so I ended up with 8 beers in the fridge that were supposed to last the whole weekend amongst 2 men. And I ended up caning them all in one night.
Skills.
And watching the kind of extended version of The Watchmen with 6 beers inside me. It was fucking beautiful. It was a beautiful night.
That sounds like a good night, man.
Yeah. But the news I was going to bring is that Snyder, who made that film, he's apparently going to turn it, which is something I've often said, I think you have as well, that Watchmen would make a fantastic TV show in the era of The Walking Dead.
Absolutely,
and like, it seems like it's going to happen.
And it's I think if they can pull it off, then that'll be good. I mean, if Snyder's involved, it seems a little, I think I'd rather have another voice doing it, because I've got no beef with the Snyder movie at all. I imagine
he'll probably just be guiding it, you know what I mean? Like, he'll probably be,
do you think he'll incorporate
the guiding force? You want that squid in there, don't you?
I don't want the fucking squid.
Backstory
rubbish.
Of the squid.
Backstory of the squid.
Just the squid sloping around a collar.
In recent years, there's been like Watchmen prequel comics, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Which
I've never read, actually. I want to check them out.
So there's plenty of scope there. The film kind of covers pretty much the book quite well.
Yeah.
It's long and it does the job.
I must admit, I'm sort of hoping they go with the prequel and then even just skip to after the film.
That'd be interesting.
Although, spoiler alert, that would mean no Rorschach, I guess.
I think the statute of limitations on fucking spoiling Watchmen is, you know, it's off.
Yeah.
If you don't know that Rorschach does die badly at the end, then it's, you know. Ooh.
And he gets the last laugh in a cool way.
Exactly.
I always wanted,
even though he does clearly obliterate him, I always wanted to think that he teleported him somewhere else. I like to think that he's, Rorschach's probably on a little island somewhere, just on his own, and he's like, this is the dream. raising a glass of fucking seawater to Dr. Manhattan for just saving him from the hideousness.
That's like this will make you laugh, hopefully. I got the Warner Brothers Blu-rays work on my Blu-ray player for some reason. I've heard the Region 3.
They work on your player?
Yeah, I can play US Warner Brothers films.
Right.
So I ordered the Watchmen motion comic. Partly because it came with the Black Freighter animation.
All right.
With, what's his name? Gerald Butler.
Do you not feel tempted to get that fucking Mega Watchman that incorporated the Black Freighter into it?
It's fucking going for top dollar, though.
Is it?
I did look into it. Yeah.
Shit.
I've got my eye on that. But, I've got kids to feed. I've got a little mouth to feed. And she likes to punch me in the dick anyway, so I hate to think what she'd do if I didn't feed her. Anyway, bought the motion comic, watched it, you know, late at night on my own, because, you know, it's not an easy one to swing by the missus, is it?
I guess not.
The Watchmen motion copy.
Is it date night tonight? You know it, baby.
12 hours of barely animated comic panels.
Yeah, it sounds like a waste of time, man.
But it was beautiful.
Just get pissed and read the comic and it'll be moving anyway.
Well, it's a lazy way to read stuff, but it seems like they've some poor bastard traced the fucker, turned the whole comic into vectors, and then it's become kind of this very crisp looking...
Jesus.
You know, but on a big ass telly, you know, I know you've not got a big ass telly, but you know, we might hold that against
you. My telly's fucking decent size. What's wrong with that?
30 inches of low tech.
It's 40 inches of high def. Badassness, you dick.
Sorry.
Maybe your kid would be punching you in the dick if you didn't have a stupid 60 inch telly.
No, ours is 40 as well.
Apology accepted.
Anyway, one guy. I don't know what the fucking score was here, but one guy does every voice in it. Seriously. One fucking bloke.
Does he put on different voices?
Yeah. And credit to the guy. He's a great voice actor, but he's playing women. He plays the women. Even when Dr. Manhattan's nailing the shit out of Silk Spectre, he's there going, oh, John. Sean, it's amazing.
Tom Steckschulter.
Right.
Tom Steckschulter.
Right.
He's done all the voices.
Yeah,
insane. So, that's fucking mental.
It's worth checking out just to hear that guy be fucking triple P'd by Dr. Manhattan. But even better is, what's his name? Alan Moore's impression of Rorschach. Which you can find on YouTube.
Rorschach's fucking journal. 1986.
Shall we have a fag?
Let's have a fag.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll sort you out.
Hello. One thing that's quite fresh is The X-Files is coming back.
Yeah.
Series 10.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 13 years after it fucking left our screens. And,
really? Fuck.
Yeah, and this week they released a little teaser bit. And
how was it?
It was alright. It's got Skinner in it, and it hints at the return of the cigarette smoking man.
Okay.
And Gillian Anderson is like
still smoking.
Oh, dude, like, yeah. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, for some reason she's just getting better as she ages. Not better, prettier. She looks lovely.
I remember her in that Last King of Scotland a few years ago, and she certainly looks. I fancied her more in that than in The X-Files, to be honest.
Did you ever see that film with her and Danny Dyer in?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That was alright.
Which was pretty grim viewing, you recommended it.
Yeah, it was alright. I'll watch any shit with Danny Dyer in, because he's a fucking geezer. I got a soft spot for Danny Dyer. He's going to go on the hero list whenever
Jesus
we set that one up.
Jesus Christ.
Hero
list. Not on this fucking pod, mate. Set up your own fucking pod if you want to start proffing Danny Dyer.
Be right good. Better than this shit. But yes, X-Files is coming back next year, and we had a bit of a teaser, and Gillian Anderson's looking great, and Mulder is looking, I don't know, because I've spent
never ages, does it, the man who never ages?
Well, he does, but he doesn't age badly. He's looking well. And I don't know if you watch Californication, but
never seen it, but I would like to.
It's wonderful. And he's an inspirational character. He's like he's a writer who had one hit book, and he just goes off the rails in a fucking Bukowski and constantly pissed, nailing anything with a vagina. Oh. And he's a terrible person, but also really funny. Inspirational to me. And the Grimsby Lantern, Hal.
Right, okay.
He's, we're big fans of Hank.
Never mind that. What about that Channel 5 shit he used to be in? What was that called?
Oh, Red Shoe Diaries. Oh, shit. And that got me a few a cold night when I was at school. Like that. but yes, The X-Files is coming back. I was always... I never really loved The X-Files. I thought it was good. But I made a point of watching the last few series. I think it started off really strongly, because it was very episode after episode. It was like Freak of the Week shit, wasn't it? And then they get the whole conspiracy stuff going in. It was what I saw of. I think it went off the boil for me, so I left it alone. But it was fine. And then I watched the last series with Robert Patrick in.
Yeah,
it was all right. Yeah. But yeah, it was all good. So I'm moderately excited about the return of the X-Files.
It's all right by me. Yeah. But there is part of the reason we're on about it is we were chatting earlier about... I'd listened to Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad Man, on... Yep. He was chatting with Mark Maron on his podcast, and he was talking about why he hired Bryan Cranston. It was because of him. He did an episode of X-Files called Drive, which was... I was glad to hear, because I recently rewatched Homicide, and there was an episode of Homicide with Vincent D'Onofrio, the Kingpin guy, and where he was playing a bit of a dick who gets kind of injured by a tube train. And you kind of have remorse for the guy, despite the fact he's a bit of a sort of businessman, wanker, shoving people out of the way, and then yeah. suddenly he's the victim after being this prick. And he also, at the time the X-Files episode was made, Speed was a big deal. So he kind of combined that episode of Homicide with Speed and came up with this episode where it was a cool episode because, a lot of the X-Files is quite outlandish and, you know, it was quite fantasy territory for a lot of the...
Yeah.
This episode was a bit more almost believable because some Navy experimental type stuff had caused people's inner ears to... implode or explode,
right?
And the only way you could avoid it is by travelling in a certain direction at a high speed.
Very specific.
We figured out that when you're travelling, because he was racing his missus to the hospital, and when she's travelling left or whatever, she feels better, and he's gonna quickly figure out, oh fuck, and go the other way, she feels shit. So
right.
having had lots of inner ear problems, I sort of kind of relate.
So identifying with that,
yeah, because I've had a lot of vertigo bullshit this year, so it was kind of a quite interesting episode. And Bryan Cranston got the gig because he could play a real cunt, but at the same time he could play a lovable chap as well. And by the end of the episode, you feel really sorry for him because he's having a real hard time, and you don't know whether he's going to survive or not.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and apparently Vince Gilligan, despite the fact Bryan Cranston went on and did the comedy stuff, which apparently he had no idea Cranston could pull off, he always had Cranston in mind for something more serious. And then when Breaking Bad came along, it was like he kind of needed, good. Yeah, like needed a bit of both.
I think
the bad guy and the yeah. comedy guy, and so he. It's good to know that. Yeah, no, it's a great episode, Drive, the X-Files.
I never saw that. Yeah. Bryan Cranston first came on my radar as the dentist Tim Watley from Seinfeld.
Oh yeah, yeah, you've told us.
Who at one point he converts to Judaism, Jerry is Jewish, and I think he goes to his rabbi, and he's like, I don't think he is Jewish. I don't think it's a character. I don't think his character is Jewish.
Right.
But he goes somewhere and he rants about Tim Watley converting to Judaism.
Yeah.
And he's like, this converts you as a Jewish man. No, he's like, does this offend you as a Jew? And he's like, no, it offends me as a comedian. He's fucking converted for the jokes. And he's just like, and then it cut to him being operated on by a fully hairy headed Cranston,
right,
cracking jokes about Jews, like as a Jew.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Just go fucking sort my filling out. It's good. Yeah. It was just a bit of a knobhead in that.
Yeah.
And then when I see Breaking Bad, it's like, shit, Tim Watley, because I never watched Malcolm in the Middle, but I'm aware that he was quite good in that.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, I know Terry, friend of the show, James. Terry, aka James.
That cunt.
He was a big Malcolm in the Middle man. But yeah, I put it on Facebook about that episode, and somebody chipped in saying, check out the episode called Home. It's particularly fucked up, and it's some nearly got banned episode.
It's good. That's the cannibals. Not the cannibals, the inbred people.
Yeah, mutants.
I remember that.
That was quite enjoyable too.
Yeah, it's a laugh.
Shocked my wife with it one night.
And then we showed her the X-Files and she was like,
So there you go. But moving on to more important stuff.
What else?
Shaun the Sheep the movie.
Fucking hell.
Oh shit, son.
Right, was it Shaun the Sheep the movie? Was there a TV show of Shaun the Sheep?
There was. Okay, like
lay it out for me, Jim. I know nothing about it.
Do you know, like, Shaun the Sheep, for those who never heard of him, he was He was a bit part in a Wallace and Gromit film.
All right, okay. Right.
You know Close Shave? You seen Close Shave?
Yeah.
Ends with a great Terminator fucking...
Is Close Shave the one with that the fucking penguin?
No, that's Wrong Trousers. Close Shaves is like a fucking... The bad guy's a dog who apparently looks a bit like me.
Okay.
It's like it's a dog in a black hat.
Right.
With a burly looking chin and stuff. I've been described as
facing that for anyone you can't we've got no camera here, but that's exactly what Jim looks like. He's not even taking his fucking top off, he's got his hat on indoors. It's rude, to be honest, Jim.
I forget the name of the dog, but so I've got a soft spot for Close Shave, and yeah, and like Sean's, he's just like a bit part, and you don't really, you know, he's just some sheep that's in it and you don't really care, but okay. It seemed like, so they gave him his own series, and I thought, well, it's obviously just some kiddie shit. Never bothered watching it because no reason to.
Right.
Had a kid.
And now you get to watch all manner of shit.
Well, have to watch shit like Frozen on a daily basis. Jeez. So you put Shaun the Sheep on, and you've got this guy who looks like Brahman era Vic Reeves, kind of stumbling around like a twat. And
okay.
Just all kinds of farmyard fun. And it's actually a bit fucked up. Because I don't know, it's a tough sell to the non-dads out there. But so one afternoon we were like, oh, let's rent a film, something we can all enjoy that's not dodgy. Because I kept buying like Studio Ghibli films to show her, and then halfway through, people start getting executed and stuff, and it's like, okay, we better not show her this.
Totoro's alright, isn't it? Totoro's.
I never watched that one actually. I need to see it. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's great. Kind of you. Yeah. You're a very kind man.
I am. I'm a good man.
So yeah, we put Shaun the Sheep film on, and it starts with this really kind of nice sort of guitar pop song, which I thought was Teenage Fan Club. Turned out to be Tim Wheeler from Ash.
Oh shit.
Yeah, which later in the film gets performed as a barbershop quartet by the Sheep.
Okay.
Loads of dodgy references throughout the film, like there's a reference, an obvious reference to Silence of the Lambs, there's sort of a reference to Breaking Bad.
Okay.
There's a bit where Shaun, I was told by my mate Duncan, that it's a bit where Shaun gets put in a prison cell by this animal catcher, and he hears this like this scary noise in shadows, and it turns out to be his mate Bitsu, who's a bit like Gromit.
Right.
And apparently that's a Jedi reference, you know, when Han gets thrown in the cell with Chewie and you just hear a monster in the corner.
Okay.
And there's a poster for fucking what's his name, that Mank poet comedian with big ass hair. John Cooper Clarke. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
One of his fucking gig posters is on the wall.
All right.
And supporting The Fall.
Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. And there's an Acid House logo on the farmer's bag, because when the farmer leaves the farm, he's driving in his fucking Land Rover, and you hear this as he drives off. And apparently he's like an acid casualty. Yeah, there's all kinds of cool shit, and the farmer ends up losing his memory, and he becomes... it's a bit hard to explain, but he becomes this kind of Wolverine themed famous celebrity barber.
Right.
When he's lost his memory, and his kind of hospital garbs with spilt food on get mistaken for like some trendy outfit, and
nice.
It's just yeah, it's great dad viewing, but I'd also argue just great viewing in general.
Okay.
And I was thinking afterwards,
you sold me on this, Jim. You sold me.
After I watched it, I was literally thinking, I really enjoyed Mad Max Fury Road, but I can't honestly say I enjoyed it more than Shaun the Sheep the movie. They're on a par at the minute. They're on a bar.
No.
Oh. But you've got it. But I respect Aardman, because they've gone back. I thought Chicken Run was a massive pile of shit. The last Wallace and Gromit thing, that loaf and a matter of loaf and bread, I didn't really get into that. I thought that was a bit samey, and they've gone back to doing what they do best, which is kind of silent, you know, silent slapstick for the kids, but with adult themes hidden in there.
Okay.
And it's really good shit. I really enjoyed Shaun the Sheep the movie. Can't believe I'm saying this, but hopefully Doug Stanhope's fan base tuned out by now. But yeah, check it out. And it's not like Wallace and Gromit's quite stuck in, it's sort of 70s Beano world, isn't it, really?
I think that's what I've always found off-putting about it.
Well, you'd like this thing, because it's actually set in quite a cosmopolitan modern city, which pulled off very well, which in claymation, that's not exactly easy, is it?
No, not at all.
And I watched a bit of making of, and the studio's like a proper sound studio, because to make this city look, to give the depth of a real city, they've really gone for it. And Christ,
that's impressive. That's good.
Yeah. Good to see claymations alive and well, because there's a lot of dirty, horrible CG out there, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think this is the annoying thing about CG cartoons.
There's good CG as well, don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, totally.
It can be amazing, but...
I think when... Obviously, it's also expensive to make... Like, it works well in a movie. And I think if you've got, like, anime, like Attack on Titan, Knights of Cydonia, anything computer-enhanced, it's still 2D if you want, but it's got that little flourish, and that works. But when you've got, like, a CG 3D-ish kind of thing... It doesn't, like, there's always something missing. Like, there was, we had Transformers Prime, we had Batman, what was it called? Beware the Batman.
Yeah.
And to a degree, the Ninja Turtles most recent cartoon.
Yeah, that was a different take on CG, wasn't it? That was quite a nice.
Yeah, that had really, flourish, really nice elements. And that's just landed on Netflix, so.
Really?
Yeah, check that shit out. First two, it's funny as fuck. It's right good, Ninja Turtles.
That'll save me from some Frozen fucking damage.
Totally will. Transformers Prime is actually really good as well. The first five episodes. Yeah.
Watched a bit of that with my nephew.
It's dark as fuck. You've got Megatron trying to resurrect dead Transformers with his fucking sight, with his dark energy on, and it's just twisted shit. It's nasty stuff.
Sounds good.
And it's got The Rock playing Cliff Jumper.
Oh, shit.
It's good.
Yeah.
But whenever there's a reason that Transformers Prime is set in a fucking desert, and it's got two sets essentially, the Transformers base in a desert and the Decepticons ship. It's because when it comes to CG, cities look like shit because it takes so much effort to animate stuff for a weekly cartoon. They just look like empty fucking cities. It's like there's no way that you've got a road full of skyscrapers and shit, and there's no one on it for your three heroes to twat about in. And that's the problem with Ninja Turtles to a degree. When they're up in New York, it looks like an empty wasteland. Beware the Batman, fucking empty. Oh yeah, well done, we're in a city, but we can't be asked to animate it, we haven't got the budget all the time.
Exactly.
So it's unfortunate that, because these cartoons do look ace, but you've got to kind of cut corners.
Another little insight into Shaun the Sheep was at one point they go into this posh French restaurant run by a French Asian chap, and there's a theory that he's supposed to be Ed Miliband because he's got that kind of starry eyes Ed Miliband's got.
Holy shit.
I said it to Melissa today because we watched it today, and she was like, yeah, she totally agreed with that theory. But moving on to McVeigh put me onto an indie horror flick called Starry Eyes.
Yes, Starry Eyes.
I'm staring at your Starry Eyes right now.
Starry Eyes. We might as well. It's coming to the season. I'm going to do a shout out to Celluloid Screams Sheffield Horror Fest logo, courtesy of Beastmaster Connolly.
Hell yeah.
And yes, one interesting thing about as much as festivals are, film festivals are brilliant. Realistically, sitting in a cinema for a weekend, it's fucking exhausting. You've got to take a bit of time out, so you're going to miss some things.
Right.
One thing that is fucking completely coincidentally awesome about Netflix is that the shit I tend to miss rocks up on Netflix 6 months later.
Right.
And Starry Eyes was one of those. Starry Eyes got a lot of good vibes from the punters, and like a lot of people were like, "Did you see Starry Eyes?" I'm like, "No, I had to go and have a sleep or."
Yeah.
Not be in a cinema, really. I just wanted to chill out. But yeah, it's good. It's about a woman who's so dedicated about being an actress, she will literally do anything to succeed.
Yeah.
And it's a hefty price she pays, but it's decent, isn't it?
Yeah, it did. It had a bit of Rosemary's Baby vibe about it, I noticed, in a good way. It's hard to talk about without ruining it.
It is, isn't
it? It's
quite
a simple story.
It's very basic, but
there's some people surrounding her that appear to be cunts, but you're not really sure if they're not supposed to be that cuntish.
Yeah, and do they? Is what happens right? I don't know, because one of them's particularly cunty.
Yeah, yeah. And quite satisfying in a kind of guilty way, I found.
Absolutely, I fully agree. It's not. It's a hoot. It's only an hour and a half. It's not depressing, but it's grim.
It's like the main character is seems like a very genuine, nice person.
Yeah,
which made it impactful for me because she obviously goes through a transformation, and it kind of got to me a bit. It made me think. A couple of days later, I was still thinking about it.
That's
so
good.
I think not many horrors do that, apart from fucking Martyrs, where I had to take 6 months out of horror. I had to dodge horror films for 6 months because I was so disturbed by. Well, I saw it at Grim Up North, put it on Stockport Plaza, which is the massive kind of Art Deco cinema. It's the equivalent of being punched in the face by, I don't know, big scary man for 3 hours.
Martyrs is a strong fucking movie.
Yeah,
I went to a screening of that, and I think it might have been an early morning screening, and I came out at lunchtime, and I went straight to.
I saw you.
Was it? Did you?
I was there when you came out. It was about. I don't know what the fuck I was doing then at that time, but you.
Was it in the showroom?
Yeah, you ordered a stiff drink.
I think I ordered a coffee and a fucking big whiskey.
Yeah. I remember, and you couldn't really elaborate on it.
I couldn't, no. I felt like I'd been attacked, and I had a very traumatic experience. I fucking love Martyrs. It's an excellent film.
It's a very well made, very horrible film.
And obviously, they've done a pointless American remake of it. That's coming out soon.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It makes fucking Antichrist look like Bambi, to be honest, for me. No diss to Antichrist, but...
Yeah. I don't know. I need to watch Antichrist again. I've been trying to watch it for the past 3 fucking weeks on a Saturday night, and I still can't bring myself to do it.
One great bit of audio that was lost in my field trip fuck-up was... I said to Daniel Stillings that Breaking the Waves is great trousers down viewing. Which, I think he was completely appalled by. I like to reiterate that was a very under the belt remark.
Literally, I don't even need a belt.
I'm no
an unbuckled remark.
Did you notice the old in Breaking the Waves? Sorry,
I've only seen it once and it traumatized me.
The Danish guy that she marries.
Stellan Skarsgård, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the fellow in Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Thor and stuff. He's the...
And loads of other awesome shit.
Because he didn't look that old in Breaking the Waves. Mm. He looked like about 30. And now he looks like a proper old
dude. Breaking the Waves, like 98 or something?
Yeah.
That's like 17 years ago.
And he was getting married in it, which implies he's about 28 or...
Possibly.
32 or something.
I don't know, man.
And now he looks like sort of late 50s.
Let's find out. Have you seen Nymphomaniac yet?
No.
Now watch it. It's good. He's the
your favourite actor. What's his name?
I think I must have mentioned it. We've mentioned this before. Shia LaBeouf's fucking Cockney accent in Nymphomaniac is dodgy. I'm assuming it's supposed to be Cockney.
His fucking American accent's a bit dodgy to me, Phil.
Shut up, man. But he's this horrible bit where.
Swings with monkeys in the jungle.
Actually, yeah, that's literally the worst thing he's done. And that wasn't even his fault.
I remember accidentally ruining his role in both indie film, and you were genuinely upset with me.
Well, I'm gonna be if you're gonna spoil a film, you twat.
A terrible fucking abortion of a horrible film that should have never happened. The director even apologised for making.
Yeah, exactly.
I offer no apology.
Fucking George Lucas twatting about ruining everything. Bastard.
I was going to say Thor 2 showed up on Netflix. I'd never seen it.
Yep.
Everyone fucking mocked the end of Blockbuster Video. Yeah. Lots of people had a laugh about that.
They were taking the piss, yeah.
But the likes of me, who don't like to steal films, I never got to see Thor 2 because Amazon to this day still charge a tenner for it.
What?
It's like a film you've never seen, you've got to pay £10, you've got to own it, never seen it.
What, to download it?
To
buy it?
To buy it on my Blu-ray. because I like...
They're still charging a tenner for it?
Yeah. It's never been rentable on Amazon.
Really?
And but it showed up on Netflix.
It did.
Gave it a watch, and I thought it was a lot better than I thought it would be.
I'm looking forward to it. It's the one Marvel I've not seen, and weirdly, Thor was the one that I had zero expectations for, and it blew me away. Well, it didn't blow me away, but I was pleasantly surprised by it. It was far better than I expected it to be. Thor 2... We've got more of that, and it's got Chris Eccleston in it. So shout out to the Homelands for
fucking hell,
some Eccleston action.
Eccleston plays it well. I think my only moan would... Well, I have two moans. One, it should have been longer, because a lot of these films, like fucking Dark Knight Rises, was 3 hours, wasn't it?
Not wrong with that, though. Doesn't outstay its welcome. It's an hour too short for
Batman
me.
Batman spends half the film in prison, though. That's a bit strange.
Yeah, so
it?
Let's get some Batman action.
Well, it Thor 2 is less than 2 hours long.
That's fine.
And it feels like it needed about another half an hour. It's one because Thor's quite an epic character, isn't he? And
this is, you know, you realise this is a complaint no one has levied at this film.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Well, I haven't seen it, so don't spoil it.
I feel like I need to say this because it's relevant to what we've talked about in the past.
All right, go on.
We've talked about Rene Russo before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, our choice for Kurt Cobain's potential wife.
Right, yes, yeah.
Things don't work out too well for Rene Russo, which brought a tear to my eye.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry to break that for you.
So that's another complaint about the film? That you were emotionally
not
moved?
Not really, but...
that's good.
One big fucking problem I had is... Quite a big part of the film is this area of London that's kind of in a kind of a weird dead zone where... gravity doesn't quite work.
What?
And things go a bit weird in this certain part of London.
Okay.
Which becomes a portal to this other area, becomes like a portal to like Asgard or whatever.
Alright.
And it's the whole fucking sequence, which lasts about 30 or 40 minutes, is totally robbed from the Animatrix. One of the episodes of the Animatrix is that the Matrix stops working in a certain part of this city, wherever the Matrix is based.
Right.
And it completely fucking skanks it. So it's like, yeah, that's a bit fucking shady.
Jesus.
Yeah,
well, this sounds like a proper complaint.
Yeah, I had issues with that. Yeah, and the Animatrix did it a lot better as well.
Animatrix was solid.
Yeah, yeah. So that was an issue. But other than that, fucking sweet.
Thor 2 got a thumbs up.
Sweet Marvel flick. Yeah.
That's good.
And there's a bit where they're flying around in spaceships that look like Thor's helmet.
Oh. Nice. He doesn't have a helmet, does he?
Little ground shuttles that look like his helmet. So. That was a nice way of nice nod for the Marvel types, which we're not.
We're not.
We're DC types,
yeah,
but you know,
distinguished competitors.
Yeah, but you know, hats off.
Yeah, always a hats off to Marvel. Unfortunately, DC. I think DC suffer from being, we're a better product generally, but we're playing catch up in this fucking movie lark, and it's a bit too late.
I've got bad news, right, from the kids. Because since we last potted, I sometimes do workshops with primary school kids, and you know, I get them drawing comic stuff.
Yeah.
And I went to this school, and I was asking them who their favourite characters were and that kind of thing. Not one kid said Batman. There's lots of Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Spidey fans.
They haven't got any choice. But you can't show a fucking kiddie Batman.
I was doing these workshops 5 years ago, and there was loads of Batman fans and the odd Superman fan, and there was none now. I think DC are kind of losing them. They're losing them.
That's
losing the kids.
Well, that's fine.
It's not fine because we were those kids once. It's not fine at all.
It's fine. The kids will find it.
But DC aren't making it for the little ones anymore, are they?
Yeah, but
they're not giving them a bone.
Well, that's fine. Don't give kids a bone.
there's some Batman cartoon out now, and it looks dog shit. It's got Batman riding a fucking pterodactyl and stuff.
Are we back in Brave and the Bold Turfer?
No, it's some more recent version.
Worse than that.
Well, Brave and the Bold was self.
Breaking the Ball was bollocks, but I understand it at a point.
It was good. It was self kind of mocking.
So we've gone beyond.
There's this new Batman cartoon that is dog shit.
What is it worse than that's what Beware the Batman?
Yeah, it's way worse. Yeah, and it's
worse than Beware the Batman.
I couldn't even tell you what it's called.
Fuck me.
And so the kids have got that, or these adult Batman films they're not allowed to watch because they're 12 A's or whatever.
Well, it's understandable then, isn't it? I'm going to blame the parents.
The company's losing the kids and it's losing the adults with this Scott Schneider motherfucker at the helm. Because they've lost.
Fuck off.
They've fucking lost me, fuck mate. Off. Tell you that for fucking. Twat. Tell you that for two notes.
Oh, I don't want two notes, mate.
I've got to say this, make mine Marvel. How do you like them apples? What are you doing with your little phone?
I'm looking for this new Batman
having
shit.
But that was, in all honesty, that was it was a knife in my heart.
I can imagine that's awful.
Because they were the same age when I got properly obsessed with Batman as well. And I even asked.
Yeah, but when you were that age and you were getting obsessed with Batman, you had a few comics to choose from. You could play about, but also there was the 89 Burton one, which I think was quite.
That was 2 years ahead, to be honest. We got into about 87, late 86.
I forget you're older than me, Jim. But
older and wiser.
Certainly bolder. Boom. Oh, what's that?
More
up top. Go on.
More kills on my bedpost.
Oh, shit.
I have to dock that shit.
Dickhead.
But doesn't that make you sad as well? That the fact that the kids are growing up not loving Batman. They want to read Thor and Captain America.
It doesn't make me sad.
There was a Batman comic in the library, in the kids' library, which was a Brave and the Bold comic, which they liked.
That's fine. They'll find their way when they come online. It's fine. Like this Marvel shit, it's perfectly fine. You know, it's full of bright colours. It's good for simple folk like children. So, you know, big red and blue and green. Oh, isn't it pretty and colourful? Let's hurt the bad guy. So, you know, it's simple, lowest common denominator shit. That's what kids are into. That's fine. But you show them the Nolan Batman, it's going to fucking blow their tiny minds. And
if they can understand what the fuck he's saying.
Exactly.
Which nobody else could. Well, this is the problem, isn't it? Because somehow Marvel have cracked the code, haven't they? They've, like Cap 2. Imagine I could take my nephew to see that and he'd enjoy it and I would appreciate it on a whole different level.
Yes.
This is what they're not doing, you know?
That's true.
Because that's their...
That's true, but that's only because these films need to exist so they can make money. What the fuck was it? I was reading something recently that a film made a fucking load of money but was still deemed a failure because it didn't make enough money.
Avengers 2.
Yeah, that was it. Avengers 2 is deemed a failure because it didn't make fucking bazillions. It was a piece... Well, it was comparatively, amongst other things, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'd agree. I thought it was shit. It was the most forgettable film this year for me.
It made more than its fucking money back.
Yeah.
And it was just... Like, how can you call that a failure when you're making the fucking net worth of... loads of fucking countries are in poverty and you're making that and you're dismissing that as chump change. It's fucking making a mockery of the filmmaking industry as a thing itself. And also, get the fuck real, there's people dying out there with no fucking money and you're like, oh, we haven't made enough money yet because I've had enough fucking cocaine and blowjobs this week. Fuck you. Fuck you, Disney bastards.
I think I got the impression of engaging it more on critical reception than money.
I think it was the money that.
And if we're going to bring impoverished countries into the podcast, I think me and you can put a fucking gun to our heads. You know what I mean?
All right,
first against the wall.
Let's
I
edit
would
this
have thought.
Yep. All right, yeah. Let's edit this whole thing out.
No. But basically, I just felt very sad that. The kids aren't into Batman anymore, and I'll be honest. I was probably the most Batman kid in my class because it was pre, you know, Burton, and it still felt pretty sad that Superman. I can understand Superman a bit more because you know, since the 80s, he's not done a great deal, has he?
Exactly
in mainstream terms.
No.
It's, But it, like for me, like this, I just read Superman Birthright, which is a graphic novel by Mark Waid, who I think worked on Battlestar.
Right.
Maybe even your old favourite.
Sorry.
That show you watched 10 episodes of in your red jacket.
10 years worth of Smallville. Smallville.
Yeah. I think he wrote some Smallville.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Artist Lionel Yu, who's great, who illustrated the graphic novel McVeigh's Yet to Read that I learnt him about eight fucking months ago.
Shut up, man.
But Superman Birthright is about 10 years old, but it was like the kind of origin reboot for like the noughties, which passed me by.
Alright.
Took me a while to get into it, but well worth checking out. It's fucking beautiful. And it starts off, it's a bit different, because it starts off from Clark Kent's travelling the world, and he's in a troubled part of Africa, and shit's going down, and it's all kind of contemporary news type stuff.
Okay.
And he's an aspiring journalist, and he doesn't really want to be Superman. And he just forced to intervene in a shitty situation, and so a bit of a curveball.
That sounds all right. Yeah. That sounds interesting. Yeah. That sounds like they're making Superman an interesting character.
Lots of Man of Steel. Man of Steel certainly borrowed from this book a lot, I reckon. And nice bit where it starts off with his folks, you know, the old school, his folks' planet's dying and send him away and everything.
Yeah.
It cuts back to that later on, and you get a nice kind of, they give you something nice at the end, which I wasn't expecting regarding his folks, because it's all this doom and gloom shit, and so I won't ruin
it. Well, that sounds good.
It's cool. And Luther, they give Luther the respect he deserves, and they do something, they take the kind of Smallville Luther and go a bit further with it.
Good.
And it's very worth checking out. Superman Birthright.
That sounds good.
One of the many examples of great Superman books in recent years.
Let's put it on some kiddies' reading lists.
Oh, Jesus. What?
What? That I was being sincere there. What?
Cash in your fucking, what's his name?
What?
Bobby Schneider or some shit.
Bobby Schneider. Fucking dick.
Bobby Schneider Bat Books.
Oh, look, Batman's gonna fast car. Oh, the Joker's a fucking demon. Oh,
mother. Yeah, pat on the head for fucking, what's his name? Fucking Johnny dick. Fucking...
Dickhead.
Johnny Poopunch Schneider.
Right, fuck this guy.
Scott Schneider.
Yeah.
I heard him on some podcast.
He
worked in some coffee shop for years. Get me a fucking cappuccino, dickhead. Oh. Get him back on.
You're saying he can make a better coffee than he can a comic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Giant twat.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll credit Greg Pullo though.
Don't hurt yourself.
Greg Pullo, brilliant artist. You know, held back a bit, enslaved to a fucking dickhead.
Oh, fuck.
It's like that film. Two fucking guys chained together. One's a bit faster than the other.
Oh, the defiant ones.
Well, it's a bit like Basket Case, you know.
Oh, fucking dick.
Perfectly functional man with some freakish brother in a fucking basket next to him. Props to Capullo. Let's get that Scott Schneider on the shit list. What do you reckon?
Fuck no. Get the fuck out, no way.
Spare space. There's a few places left.
There's plenty of places left. I'm going to stick you on this motherfucker. Yeah. No fucking way, mate.
You'll be profiting, because I think I'll be giving all that Schneider shit away soon, because I've made the mistake of buying a couple of his books.
What, you've gone full blown twat,
haven't you? Not got through them yet.
Full blown idiot.
Not got through them.
Jesus Christ. Sat in my house with his hat on.
Because it's fucking cold in here. You're fucking eating on.
I've got my flip flops on, man. It's not fucking cold.
Selling to a Yorkshire bastard. Weaving ours on it, northwest. It's like a Yorkshire. In Yorkshire, you're not allowed to turn it on till November, are you?
Apparently not. I can put the eating on if you want, but I'm not going to.
I'm only winding you up.
Good.
Go for it.
Have we fucking covered everything now?
Yeah. Last we were talking about Horns, which I can't really be asked about.
I haven't seen it. I was more interested in it. It's by Alex. I can't pronounce his name. But he did Switchblade Romance and
right,
The Hills Have Eyes, which is fucking awesome.
Horns is alright, Harry Potter's in it, watch it if you're into that sort of shit.
Nice one.
Well, don't, it's no problem either way.
Oh, so actually, one thing I did want to say, Spring has recently landed on Netflix.
Yeah, you told me about this.
This is just a Spring was one of the highlights of Cellular Screams last year. The guys who made it, Justin Benson and Aaron Moore, had brought it over, and it's a fucking wonderful beast. It's a bit lazy, but it's the closest comparison you're going to get of Richard Linklater meets H.P. Lovecraft. So I think Before Sunrise.
Richard Linklater, right.
Yeah, but
was it? It's not animated, is it?
No. Okay. But think that. So it's essentially thematically, it's Before Sunrise.
It's not
with
that
some gooey bits in.
Bullshit, is it?
It's not, no, but there's this guy who is in America, and he hits a guy a bit too badly, and he needs to get the fuck out. So he goes on a Euro railing, inter railing around Europe, and he hangs out with some Cockney dudes, and they're quite cool. And he ends up in Italy in this remote little town, and he finds this hot chick, and he's well into her, and she's kind of a bit aloof, but there's clearly something there, and it's watching this relationship grow whilst still there being something a bit underneath. It's fucking brilliant. It brought a tear to my eye. It's just a lovely fucking movie and really quite grim in parts. It's a perfect, I've never seen anything like it, and that's what's interesting about Benson and Moorhead. Their film before that, Resolution, which we've mentioned before.
It's not really
a horror movie. Yeah. But it's unsettling, and
it was interesting.
Exactly, it's interesting, and Spring is like that.
It's one of them that grew on me after I'd seen it.
Yeah,
which I like.
That's a rare thing, isn't it? Spring is can't rate it highly enough. I was tweeting about it to my mate.
You were tweeting, were you?
I was tweeting.
Having a little tweet.
Oh,
good
for
you.
Spring's on Netflix, check it out. And then
I bet you weren't tweeting on the MFTB tweet, though, were you, you lazy cunt?
No, I thought you'd be doing that.
That's your domain.
How is it my domain?
Well, ditch that.
Mate, I barely understand Twitter, right?
Ditch that Brother Walt bullshit and bring it into the real deal.
Brother Walt is Cousin Walt.
Whatever. Same shit, different day.
It's not. It's a big difference between your brother and your cousin.
Yeah.
Alright.
If we don't retweet, blame this dickhead, by the way.
You fucking dick.
That's your fucking job. I do everything else around here.
That's a fair point, Jim. That's a fair point.
I even had to fucking share your own article with Doug Stano on our Facebook. I presumed you were being modest, but
I was being modest, yeah. I thought you'd do it anyway. Right,
Pub. So, Pub. Yeah, let's do it. You've got a tune for us.
Got some tunes. Yeah, this is a fella called Max Thor, all one word. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well, so I'm going to try it again. Max Thor.
Yeah.
He's just electro badass shit, file alongside Power Glove, Kavinsky. It's just some lovely electro stuff.
A bit played a bit of Vector Sector in the past, haven't we?
Night
Satan.
Absolutely, yes.
Similar lines in a cool way.
So we just
had a quick listen.
Check it out, Max Thor. This is Blackfire. And thanks for listening. Come back next time.
Yeah.
Sorry. We've been drinking.
So we've turned this into an excuse to have a go at each other. Yeah, cheers to Max for letting us have this.
And also, thanks again to Doug Stanhope for tolerating me for 15 minutes.
Yeah, fucking A. And if any Stanhope fans made it to the end, nice one. In a bit.
Cheers.
Yeah.
baby, baby.